Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to the new relaunch edition of Stillwater's Fireside Chat. And I am your host, Minister Greg Jones. I welcome each and every one of you who might be listening to this radio broadcast. And if not, you can always catch it on the back end as a pre-recorded radio session. So I just want to once again thank you so much for supporting me in the ministry. And I just appreciate every single one of you who continue to speak love and light into my life. So once again, I welcome you to the relaunch. This is the relaunch of Stillwater's Fireside Chat. And I am your host, Minister Greg Jones, on this beautiful Sunday evening. And I am really, really excited about the topic that we're going to be tackling. I've had a lot of people in conversation, as everybody who knows who I am, and those who don't, you can always check me out at www.stillwatersclministries.org, and you can see all about the ministry and what I do. I try to meet people exactly where they are in the Lord, meet them at their well experience. Just like the woman at the well, I just try to meet the people exactly where they're at, trying to help people in practical and ministerial ways to really get to promote help for those who are hurting, to try to really bring and speak a word of encouragement and a word of just life into people's lives. This is a time that so much is going on in the world, from people across this world who are suffering from or by the hands of terrorists to the brutality that's been going on in our own country by some, I don't say all, some law enforcement officers, and just everything that's been going on in this world. We need to speak love and light. We need to bring that, and Stillwaters really tries to do that. So this is a topic that I'm really looking forward to tackling, because I had, like I said earlier, a couple people who really have been pressed upon my heart, who just want to do the right thing. They want to live right. They want to live healthy. They want to live happy and joyful, but they just seem to be stuck. They just seem to be stuck in a place where they just keep spinning their wheels in the same place. And I'm really hoping the Lord just opens up an avenue for them this evening through the conversation that and the topic that I will be tackling, which is let's get past our past. And I think a lot of the life issues that we experience in life and all of the things that we go through in life, a lot of that generates from how we process and what we hang on to that generates from the past experiences that we have. You know, we bring all of those issues to the forefront before the cross and even after the cross. And that's why we have to lay ourselves out before the Lord and really become, get to a place where we become honest, not only with others, but mostly with ourselves and into the Lord himself. So, and it's just the oxymoron anyway, where people think that they can not be honest with the Lord when the Lord already knows the truth. He knows what's going on with you, and he is just welcoming you with open arms. You know, he says, all who are burdened and heavy laden, you know, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. And I think that's exactly what's been going on, is that there's been a lot of soul damage going on out there. So hopefully this is just one tool, you know, anything that I can do, this is one tool that will help somebody to set somebody free, to help somebody to become delivered, to speak to somebody's issues and to help them along. But I can't do it by myself. So I always love to connect with people who I believe that are powerful, who I believe who can really speak love and light and really have the Spirit of God upon them to help me tackle some of these tough topics, like let's get past, P-A-S-S, our past, P PAST. And the person whom God had placed upon my heart is none other than a woman who I have really and truly just grown to know. We have actually been friends on Facebook, believe it or not, since 2009, I think it was, when she was on another radio show that I had where we talked about spiritual abuse, and she just spoke such a powerful word. She's always been encouraging. We've been encouraging each other back and forth. She's just really, really just a powerful woman of God. So I would want you to help me to welcome my guest host for this evening, Prophetess Ina Michelle Fonville of Buffalo, New York. Prophetess Ina, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. thank you so much. I was sitting here enjoying the ministry you were giving forth.
Well, thank praise so God. I just really and truly appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on and speak life. I'm going to tell our listening audience about Prophetess Ina, and this will kind of give people kind of an overview of who you are. We're just going to kind of hit it, and then we'll get to the discussion at hand. So thank you so much, Prophetess, for taking time Amen. Out to come onto the radio show and share just your spirit and share your experience, your strength, and your hope in the Lord. So I really, really thank you. Let me tell you about Prophetess Ina. Prophetess Ina Fonville of Northern Christian Fellowship and Redeeming Love Ministry of Buffalo, New York. Prophetess Ina is a licensed and ordained elder, co-pastor, and prophetess. She was ordained as an elder in Judah Christian Ministry by Bishop Leonard C. Willis in 1999. Prophetess Ina was also ordained as a prophetess by Pastor Prophet Leonard Cleckley of Omega Ministry in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Now, if I pronounced that wrong, I apologize. We'll straighten it out later. Charge it to my mind and not my heart. Prophetess Fonville was born and raised in Buffalo, New York. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at a very early age and was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 19. And shortly after, she received that acceptance call on her life to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2000, Prophetess Fonville, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, started a series of messages that were entitled The Process of Beautification. This message was designed to speak to the very heart of a woman who desires to know her true beauty from God's point of view. And Prophetess Fonville believes that real beauty begins with the hidden person within the heart of the individual. Prophetess Ina is continually serves under the leadership of her pastor, Alberto Dillon of North Star Christian Fellowship, as one of their in-house prophets. And I really, once again, let's go over this again. Now, it is Pastor Prophet Leonard Cleckley.
Cleckley, that's correct.
Right, Cleckley of Omega Ministries.
Cleckley.
And Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. So once again, let me welcome you. Thank you so much for taking your time out. And I'm going to read the scripture that I think is just really apropos as we jump into this and delve into it. I'm going to read from Isaiah 43. We're going to do verse 18. And listen to this, because I think this really speaks to people letting go of the past and getting past their past. So let's speak to this. Here we go. Here's the Lord's word. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing.
Amen.
And I love that. I love that right there. And let us not, and I'm going to hear again, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, for the Lord is doing a new thing. So, Prophetess, I really need some help on this topic. You know, I talked to several people who really and truly, I think like a lot of us, you know, we get stuck in some places. You know, we want to grow. We want to be the best that God wants us to be, but sometimes we struggle, you know. So what would you say to the woman or the man who maybe came from not so great environments? I mean, I know a lot of people. I mean, you know, even some of my own stuff that I've been through. What would you say to that person who really is having a hard time letting go of some of those issues of rejection, the issues of maybe abandonment, an issue of not having a father in the home, an issue of maybe my mother was a heroin addict or a drug addict, and maybe I got, you know, pushed off to a foster care system, or maybe I did grow up in a great family, but my family was so more interested in doing their own thing, it created a dysfunction within the home because nobody really communicated with each other. Nobody really, you know, sat down and had dinner with one another, and I just kind of was left to my own devices. I kind of had a family, but I raised myself because, you know, the family within the family wasn't really a family. So how would you start that off? What would you say to somebody who is really trying to move beyond some of those issues?
First of all, the first thing you want to always tell people, we as Christians, because we've been there, we've lived that. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got something that caused a dysfunction in our past. Because of sin, we all know that we are basically dysfunctional. That's all of us. First thing I would do is turn them towards God, because he is the only hope anyone has to be able to get over past situations. He's the only hope that we have. So the first place I would send them to is to God, and then God, being who he is, starts to work on the foundation of a thing. He goes to the very root. He goes to the very source. Whatever it is, however it is, it has one thing in mind, and that's to deliver and to free a person. We can't talk about forgetting our past until we run it equivalent to being delivered, being set free. And so that's what the first thing we do. We want to give hope. Hope is like a foundation. There's hope for me. Because the first thing you think about when you're in your now moments, the first thing you think about, there's no hope. Look where I came from. Look what I had to deal with. There's no hope to ever get free. And so that's what you do. The first thing you go for is you re-instill the hope. And that the only hope that any of us have is in God.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, I was talking to a young lady, and maybe you can even speak on this. I was talking to a young lady, you know, and she hit me, you know, because one of the things, obviously, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is we know through our own experience, right, that, you know, and we even struggle at times. I mean, let's be for real. We struggle at times, you know, bringing things and surrendering things to the Lord and everything. But I remember speaking to a young lady, and she goes to me and she says to me, "Minister Greg, you know, I know you're a man of God, and I really, you know, I've been to church and I've tried, you know, the Lord, and I'm still struggling with these issues. You know, I mean, I know there's God. You know, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I've confessed him as my Lord and Savior, and we can get into the semantics about, well, this person's backslid, you know, and all that. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is speak to a real-life issue. What do you do when you have somebody who says, well, yeah, okay, that's all great, but I'm still stuck. I'm still, even in my Jesus experience, I'm still stuck. I'm still stuck with low self-esteem. I'm still stuck with no sense of value. I'm still stuck with repeating the same old patterns again and again in my life, where I'm still meeting the same old deadheads. I'm still having broken relationships. And the best broken relationship that I'm having is because I'm meeting people where I'm at because I'm broken. So I draw brokenness to me. And I'm starting to find out that also in my brokenness that I'm hurting other people. So I know I'm hurt, and I really don't even understand that hurt people hurt people. So, you know, so how do you speak to somebody like that?
First of all, it's like when you go back, what I said, you go back to who your hope is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take being honest about where you are, where you came from, and admitting things. And another thing, too, even in my own life, when you're trying to get free and you're trying to deal with a holy God, it's kind of hard to be transparent. Even though you know that he knows everything, you've got blockers. You got walls up because of the captivity you're in. So you got all these walls up. So you're talking from a place of captivity. So you hear statements like, I know I'm supposed to be this, I should be that. I'm a Christian, but I'm still not free. See, you're talking from behind a wall of captivity. So it's almost like you have to come to a place where you get right into the face of God and say, look, this is where I am, and if you don't help me, it's not going to change. And you start from there. It's like everything that you know where you are, you have to be totally honest. Your self-conversation has to be totally honest. What you say to God has to be totally honest. And you have to realize where you are in this situation to get free. And so then, even like myself, when I wanted to be free, I was brought up in a religious base, so I had a lot of religious way of thinking. If you do this, then you're expecting punishment. So that blocks you from being honest.
Absolutely.
So, you know, all of these different things, these different thoughts that you're having, that's blocking you from getting to the source of your only help. And so you almost have to lay aside the fact, yeah, I'm a Christian, but let's talk about my humanness that you know about. And let's start from there. And then you go to him, and that's when the Lord begins to talk to you and deal with you where you are right then and there. And that's the start.
And I think that's real talk, because I don't think a lot of people understand the dynamic of how the Lord uses people to speak to people in real time, in the sense of, see, we always think that somehow, as I used to walk around with the blinders on myself, was that you would think that this ethereal God, this God, is going to do something that somehow miraculously. Now, it's not saying he can't. This is not what I'm saying. God can do anything he wants. But also he wants you to play your part in this too, right? So it's a two-way relationship. It's a two-way street. But sometimes we get to become so ethereal in our thinking that God is just sometimes going to just osmosisly, magically change our situation or change our happenstance. Like, okay, well, if I know I'm unemployed, would it really behoove me to stay in the house, fill out no applications, sit on my, you know, blessed assurance, and just sit and read my Bible and anoint myself and hope that somebody's going to come and knock on the door and give me a job? I don't think that it works like that. You know, I believe that it works to where God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you would ever ask or think once you take the faith step forward to do your part. When God spoke to Abraham and told him, get out of your father's land, right? Abraham had to do something on his part.
Right.
He had to get up and leave his father's land, and he said that if you would do this, then I'll make a great nation out of you, and your descendants would be blessed and all of that stuff. But Abraham, after hearing God, had to get up and leave his father's land. Right?
Right.
So I start thinking about it from the aspect of a first step. So when I think about God wanting us to take that first step, or the first step from the individual who's been stuck and captured in that blockage mentality, that block spirit, or this place of where they're constantly replaying replaying or re-going over those old tapes and acting out in old behaviors, after we do the first step of surrendering ourselves and coming to the Lord, and we talk about or talk from the perspective of we give ourselves over to the Lord, but yet I'm still in a place here where I'm feeling not so whole or not so complete, or I'm still, you know, I get to a point where it's almost like what was a young lady saying? It was almost like a glass ceiling effect where I know I want to move forward, but I keep hitting this invisible barrier where I need to move forward. I want to move forward, but I just don't know what the next step is. What would you tell that person? What would be the next step that somebody can really do? They love the Lord. They have the Lord in their heart, but they keep hitting this barrier. They keep hitting those blockages that you talk about. What would be the next step? Because I think people understand things kind of in a simplistic way. You know, that's why they have 12-step fellowship programs, because they understand that here's step one. We finally come to a place where we admit that we have the problem. Step number two, you know, after we've realized that, we recognize that there's a higher power than us. So there's a kind of a step process. What would you say to a person after we know that they're trying to surrender to the Lord? What would be some of the next steps that they can take in order to relieve themselves from some of that negative mindset?
First, it would be a real honest surrender. Because one thing about it, if we're still trying, then God can't work. And a lot what we hear, that first step is just an openness to and a willingness to want to come out. There is no way that we can do God's part. So the first thing besides being honest is to cry for help. And a lot of people, pride will not allow them to cry for help. They think that it's got to be something that they have to start, activate, or do before God kicks in. That's not so, because God said that first you humble yourself, then my grace can hit your life. If you don't acknowledge your weakness or allow a weakness to remain, you'll never know my strength. So the first thing is that you come down and you humble yourself. You cry for help. That cry for help starts God's moving in your direction. And it's so many things, because we could be talking about this from now until the Lord come back, about the different reasons that hold people into captivity, because there's a general captivity, which we know is sin, and then there's individual captivity that has something to do with where the person came from, the decisions they made, and what people did to them, what things did to them. And so it's, you can't hit them all the same. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, you tell one person, just get up and get over it. You can't tell certain people that. You got to gently lead them out, and you have to individually minister to where they are. So that first thing that everybody got to do, when the children of Israel were in captivity, they cried for help. It was the cry that God heard, and he continually heard. Their cry was for, he already saw the captivity. He already knew what it was going to take. But it was that first initial cry that alerted him, they ready to come out. And so when he hears, you know, sometimes captivity and your sin, you fall in love with it, because of the comfortable place it puts you in, and what it, the comfort, the false comfort it puts you in. And you got, even drug addicts know that. They got to hit rock bottom before they actually really get delivered, because they're good at conning. And that's not a put down, but that's just a part of what it is. So the first thing I would say, just, you know, humble yourself and cry for help. I know that was me. It was, I had to get to the end of myself, like the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she got to the end of herself. Mm-hmm. That all that could not help her was gone. Her hope was gone. And that's her circumstances had her bowed over. But that's where she got free. And that's what I would tell them. I said, learn to be honest and learn to cry out for help.
And I think that is such an important, I think that's such an important first step, you know, is a lot of people don't know how to ask for help, or
mm-hmm.
they find that asking for help somehow puts them in this embarrassing situation, like,
and it's supposed
they're
to.
Like, yeah, like they're, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they're just unique in their own experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like nobody else in the whole wide world has ever experienced this before. Right, exactly. So they become so unique in their thinking that they
mm-hmm.
really feel like, oh, if I was to say this, they're going to, you know, they're going to look at me this way, or they're going to look at me that way. And I think that that is just right on the money and just saying those is number one. Let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand
mm-hmm.
of God. And that is number, definitely numero uno. And then number two is just as the children of Israel had cried out, let us also cry out for help, you know, not only to the Lord himself, but also asking other people who are in the Lord. So we have to be careful about that, too, because that's going to be, because this
exactly.
is part one. Yeah, this is part
mm-hmm.
one, and we want to make sure I preface this. This is part one of a two-part series call on this particular topic who Prophetess Ina is going to join me with. So this is part one, because we want to also tackle the thing of, well, when we become transparent, who can we become transparent
that's
with?
That's right. That's the biggie.
Okay. Right. You know, because that's a whole different, you know, that's a whole different ball game right there. Who can I become transparent with? You know, and then what do I'm looking for, and how am I looking for, you know, how do I continue this growth process when I'm in there, and then how do I continue to keep it up so I don't find myself back
in it.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, back where I was from before. So I just really and truly want to, because we have actually have 3 minutes left. I just kind of want to close up. This is only a half an hour show, but it's a powerful half an hour show. I hope everybody got at least some good two steps that you can do. Is number one, surrender to the Lord, as Prophetess Ina and I definitely agree. Number two, we also agree the fact that you have to learn how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and to be able to ask for help. And there's no shame and asking for help. And as they would say, you know, what are you more interested in, saving your face or saving your backside? That's how I put it. I won't use the other term. But however, you know, so you know, so, and that's the truth. I mean, are you more interested in saving face in front of people,
mm-hmm.
or are you really more interested in saving your life and allowing the Lord to really deliver you from where you are and being honest with yourself so you can live a complete godly life and to live in authenticity to who God
mm-hmm.
had created you to be, not based off of what somebody else might have inputted upon you based off of their own experiences from their past, but for you to create a better future for yourself. And that's what this is all about. We're out here trying to help people to move beyond their hurt experiences, and this is one way. So first of all, I want to thank Prophetess Ina Fonville of Buffalo, New York, for coming on to this radio show and helping me out. So thank you very much.
I appreciate you allowing me, being such a gracious host, and just it's been an honor. But before I close out, I'm going to be in trouble. I want to give a shout out to my mother, who birthed me, my sound partner, the one that helps me be transparent, Pastor Luella May, and Pop Ellis May. Also, those are my two partners in, I wouldn't say crime, but in my journey and keeping me straight. They keep me straight. So I wanted to say this. Thank you so much, Minister Gregory, for allowing me this time.
Well,
just
we
to be
appreciate
a little transparent
you.
Myself. Amen.
Yeah, well, hey, we appreciate you. We appreciate everybody who's tuned into this call. And please stay tuned for the next part of this, part two of our radio show, Stillwater's Fireside Chat. Let's get past our past with Prophetess Ina Fonville of Buffalo, New York. Prophetess, I want you to have a great evening. Thank you, everyone, and check us out at www.stillwaterclmministries.com. That's C stillwaterclministries.org, stillwaterclministries.org, to see what the ministry is all about. Thank you once again. Everyone, be blessed. Make it a great day. Have a great day. Have a great evening, and God bless you. Goodbye.